This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." This is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth. So, America, please open your King James Bibles to the book of Judges, chapter 4, verse 1, where we left off last time. Judges, chapter 4, verse 1. Just before we begin, I want to invite all of you listening to me to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, 916 Florida Avenue, for all kinds of good jewels that I have for you that will bless you. The first one is come each Sunday, 5 p.m. for word and a call to the holy prayer bench for personal prayer. Come on Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., another book of the Bible I'm teaching. And then we have intercessory warrior prayer at a new program. Come each Thursday here at my school at 12 noon until 2 p.m., either one of those times or in between from 12 noon to 2 p.m. for Thursday prayer line. My twin friend Scott is going to join me. We will anoint with oil and pray for the sick. And I want you to know that we operate in the gifts of spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, the gift of prophecy, healing, miracles. And some of you do not know, most of you do not know, that God has given me a gift of singing in the spirit. Paul will say, "I sing with the spirit." The spirit will sing a high C sometimes, and it'll shatter demons that are coming over a person. The Holy Spirit will sing and prophesy to people, or warn people, or heal people. In other words, that's the power. In other words, singing is praying twice. It has twice as much dynamite. So anyway, all of you are welcome to all of these. And now, the book of Judges, chapter 4, verse 1. The children of Israel had finally gotten into the promised land, but they made one terrible mistake. Now listen to this, Christians, because you might be making this mistake too. When you got saved, spiritually, you got into the promised land. They left the enemy in the land. They did not clean out. God said to clean out the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and all of that. And they did not do that. They thought they would be all right. They could cohabitate. You must keep your house clean. You cannot have one dark thing of Satan in your house. What it will do, as they did with the Israelites, the enemy will take over, and then you will be dead. So they take over the land, and so then the people would cry out to God, and God would send them a judge. Judge in the Hebrew is shofat. It means to set in order and to rule. And then everything would get all right, and then they would get evil again. So now, let's see. Are they going to be evil? Are they going to be naughty? Are they going to be nice? Judges chapter 4, verse 1.
Judges chapter 4, verse 1. And the children of Israel did again evil in the sight of the Lord.
Oh, my goodness. Now, in the manuscripts, the original manuscripts, it said they did again the evil, a specific evil. Meaning, what was it? Idolatry. See, of all the things that you do that you might call sin, it would be to gratify yourself. That would mean that you had committed adultery to God. Anything that comes between you and God becomes a god. And so they would worship the idols of the enemy in the land, and then the enemy would overtake them.
When Ahu was dead.
Ahu was the man left-handed last week who killed everybody and was a hero for the children of Israel. He killed the enemy, not the good people.
2. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan.
Okay, so right there in the promised land, they had left the Canaanites in. The Canaanites will mix with fallen angels and giants and Geber and Kenites, descendants of Cain. They were a mess. They were in the promised land. They were supposed to be out. Now, Jabin is not the name of the king of Canaan, but it's a title. Like we say, the president of the United States of America, but, you know, every 4 or 8 years, it's a different name. So, right there in the promised land, the enemy had taken over and the Canaanites had taken them. And the name of the authority there was Jabin, which would be like the king.
That vein in Hosah, the captain of his host, was Sisera.
So the king of Canaan had a general named Sisera. His name means battle array. Now you want to hear what Sisera did. He was bad.
Dwelt in Horesheth of the Gentiles. 3. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord.
They groaned, "Help us, Lord."
For he had 900 chariots of iron.
This is what Sisera did. It was high technology in those days. They would have a team of horses and a chariot. But on these iron chariots, they would have 18-inch double-edged knives sticking out. And when the children of Israel were out plowing their crops and tending their crops, they would run these chariots into the people and slice and dice the people. It was a reign of terror. The Israelites were afraid to go out into the streets. And also, they raped the women.
20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel.
So this went on, this reign of terror with these chariots of iron, for 20 years. In biblical numerics, 20 is a number of redemption. So we need some redemption, do we not? Okay, here comes the judge.
4. And Deborah, a prophetess.
Deborah, thank you, Lord. I mean, you got a woman this time. Deborah, prophetess. A prophet or prophetess is one who has the anointing of God on them and speaks the word of God. You can't fake it. It God just twists something in you, your solar plexus, and he takes over your spirit. Hey! And he speaks through you. Okay, and it's anointed. And so she's a prophetess. Now, the name Deborah is very important because this relates to you. Translated from Hebrew to English, Deborah means bee. B-E-E. You know, like a buzzing bee? Now, what does a bee do? Pollinates. If the bees go out of existence, we don't have our vegetation, do we?
No.
They pollinate. A bee gives life. But Deborah's name not only means bee, transliterated, meaning exactly from the Hebrew, it means to say, to talk, to tell, to speak. What? What does a prophetess talk, tell, and say, and speak? The word of God. So Deborah is the word of God which pollinates and causes life and impregnates people with the life of the word of God. Hallelujah. Do you get it? Okay. Okay. Keep it in mind, because if you don't get that, you won't get the rest of the story. We always have level one, but we're deeper and we go to the third. So we have the word of God, which is like a bee. It goes and pollinates and causes life and growth wherever it goes.
The wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. 5. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah.
Now, that's interesting. She dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. It's not this prophetess Deborah's palm tree. This palm tree was named after Deborah 100 years earlier in Genesis chapter 35, when Jacob's mother Rebecca had a nursemaid named Deborah, and when the nursemaid Deborah died, they named the palm tree after her. But this Deborah wanted to keep it in the family, so she's dwelling there, but listen where she lives.
Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim.
Between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. Mount Ephraim would represent all of the tribes. Ramah means an anointed word of God spoken, come alive, not the written. Bethel, Beth, house, El, God. The Ramah word of God, a true, real, live word of God, the house of God. So the prophetess or prophet or any of you that are called and chosen and elected and want to give your whole life to God, you must dwell between Rhema and Bethel. You must perpetually live spiritually between the Rhema word of God, where his word is raining down in your spirit, and the house of God, Bethel. And you become the house of God, and that Rhema word is coming up out of your spirit 24 hours a day. And that's where you live, despite all the multitasking.
Amen.
And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment.
In other words, the judge means to set in order. In other words, that's a good thing. You help them get their affairs in order.
Six. And she sent and called Barak.
Okay, Deborah calls Barak. Who is Barak? Barak is an Israelite. He's not the Canaanite. He's not with Sisera. Now, Barak's name means lightning, concrete, flashing sword. Jesus said in Mark 13, speaking of the soon coming Antichrist, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Concrete here means a forehead of brass, hard-headed, stubborn, will not take directions, will not yield. I will not, I will not, I will not. Okay, this is Barak. Now, what in the world is going to happen about him?
The son of Abimelech out of Kadesh Naphtali.
Okay, Naphtali is one of the 12 tribes, and in the Hebrew calendar, we're actually in the month of Naphtali right now, are we not? Yes.
Said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun.
Now the word of the Lord has come upon Deborah. So she says, Barak, God has chosen you to go get 10,000 men, two of the tribes, Naphtali, the tribe of Zebulun. Incidentally, Zebulun would be the Dutch people today. And he said, get them. The reason they didn't get the rest of the tribes, they were watching the show. You watch the church. It's just only a handful that gets the job done. And so he said, take those and go where Sisera is. Go to that place. Go to the army. See, most of you run from the enemy. I'll just cower here and maybe the enemy won't get me. Maybe the demons won't get me. Maybe the devil won't get me. Go to them. But you have to go armed. You might have to go with yourself, having lived between Rhema and Bethel. The word of God, talk, taste, say, tell, has to go before you. So she says, you go. God wants you to go. Now, remember Barak's name, concrete, lightning?
Seven, and I will draw unto thee the river Kishon, Sisera.
Now, when Deborah says, I will draw, what's happened? It happens in a prophet, right in your solar plexus, there will be a twist, and God will just speak. And I will draw all them, I will draw the enemy to you. That was God. He takes over. To be a prophetess, you have to completely die to yourself, and the Holy Spirit takes over and just speaks it. It's not the person, it's not pride, it's God. So, therefore, she says, God says, I will go with you. So, I want you to go right where they are. Now, you want to know that where Sisera and his 900 chariots of iron with those knives that all his men are ready to slice and dice, they're in a place called Kishon, which is a very hard place. They did not have paved roads, but it was so hard because those chariots were so heavy, and they needed a hard place to drive their iron chariots. Keep that in mind, please.
Captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude.
Okay, he's got a big crew. Now, God is sending Deborah the word with Barak right into the enemy's camp. See, sometimes God assigns us to go right into the camp. Scott and I do it all the time, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
I will deliver him into thine hand.
God says, I'll give you the victory.
And Barak said unto her,
now listen what he says.
If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go.
Now God chose Barak to do this. He's an Israelite. He was chosen, but he said, I don't really want to, but I'll go if you go. you would think Barack was leading from behind. Did you not get that? Barack was leading from behind. It must be in the name. Okay, so he didn't want to go, and he was stubborn, and he was rebellion. See, don't even do it for God or for God's people if you don't want to. When you start serving God because you ought to, it just ought to go to church. I just ought to. If you can't go with joy, stay home. You've lost your blessing. Oh, the joy of a free-giving heart. Well, he didn't want to. He's going to obey, but guess what's going to happen? He's going to lose his reward. God loves a cheerful giver. He's not too fond of one who just does it because they ought to.
Verse 9, and she said, I will surely go with thee.
Yes, I'll go with you, Barak, says Deborah, the word.
Notwithstanding, the journey which thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman.
God's already brought judgment down on Barak. He told Deborah, say, you're not going to get any honor. I'm going to send you there, and little baby, I'm going to help you win, but you're getting no honor. A woman's going to get the honor. The woman's name will be Jael. Now, you want to know that Jael is a Midianite priest, pure Hebrew, pure Israelite. She and her husband, Heber, had lived in Canaan, had lived in that Kenite land. So people call them Kenites in the sense of Cain, but they're not Kenites. It just means that they had lived there. But they moved out and pitched their tent right near Kadesh, where Sisera and his 900 chariots are. See how God's orchestrating all this?
Yeah.
And Deborah arose and went with Barak unto Kadesh.
Okay, the word went with Barak.
Verse 10, and Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh.
In other words, only two of the tribes would go to this hard place, Kadesh. The other ones watched the show.
And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet. And Deborah went up with them.
The word of God went up with him.
11. Now Heber the Kenite, which was of the children of Hobad, the father-in-law of Moses, had severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent to the plain of Zaanaim, which is by Kadesh.
Okay, as I told you, Heber, it will be Jael's husband. It says Kenite, it just means they had lived in that Kenite territory in Canaan, but they had moved out. You've got to keep in mind, they're the good guys. And Jael, Heber's wife, they have a tent right beside Kadesh, where the 900 chariots of Syria's army are, and where Barak and Deborah are going into this big, powerful enemy.
And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abimelech, was going up to Mount Tabor. And Sisera gathered together all his chariots.
Okay, so somebody told Sisera, Barak is coming. By the way, when it said Moses' father-in-law, that name is wrong. Hobab was Moses' brother-in-law. Moses' father-in-law was Jethro, but they were not Kenites. They just lived in that territory. So they had all moved out, along with Heber and with Jael. So Sisera hears that they're coming, and he gets these powerful, the most modern equipment they have, these irons, and all they have to do is run them into Barak and Deborah, and everybody sliced and diced. It was terrible.
900 chariots of iron, and all the people with him from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto a river of Pishon.
In other words, lots of crowd with Sisera.
14, and Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand.
Now, the reluctant Barak, Deborah, the word, had to say, Come on, Barak, get up there. Go and tell, witness, tell something. Get up, do something. Shake, 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 shake. I mean, okay, I'll do it. That takes a lot of patience, doesn't it? Yep. In other words, you've got the victory, for heaven's sakes. God just told you to get the victory, and God told you you have the victory. You are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Amen. But you run into the battle covered with the word of God and the blood of Jesus and the power of God, and you don't have to run and you don't have to whip up. You've already got the battle. Don't you wait for me to say up, up, up. Get up and do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Take the enemies. All these, take it away from you. Take it back.
Amen.
And bring it back to God's territory.
Amen.
Is not the Lord gone out before thee?
He's gone out before you. So when you go to your battle, whatever it is, at school, at work, at play, social, mental, watching things, maybe things come on the screen that you should not watch, that battle, you send the word of God out first. It is written. In Jesus' name. And then you quote that scripture. You quote it with the power of God coming out of you. And the word will go before you and make the crooked way straight. And the word will diminish the power of the enemy before you. Before you go to school. Before you go to work. In their mind. The battle's in your mind. The battle of temptations that you go. Wherever you go. Send the word on ahead. It'll be with you. It'll deliver you. And show you exactly what to do. Jesus is the living word.
But Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. 15, and the Lord discomfited Sisera.
Now, this is interesting. You say, well, what does that mean? The Lord discomfited Sisera. Sisera is the enemy, right? Discomfited in the Hebrew is a supernatural phenomenon. God performed a supernatural phenomenon. Our people, the Israelites, were outnumbered. Besides, we've got the modern technology, the iron wheels with the knives. The supernatural phenomena is answered in chapter 5. God is sending a flood. He opens heaven and he sends a flood, and it causes a mudslide down Mount Tabor and Mount Sinai, and the mud comes, and where the concrete is, where those chariots would run, that thing turns into a mud pile, and all of the chariots of iron bogged down in the mud and they can't budge. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit of the living God falls from heaven in torrents and showers of anointed blessing, even the hardest heart can break half into and melt and become a mushy mud pile. Did you know, Olivia, you can not only make mud piles out of mud, you can sculpt and you can hone and you can refine. A good artist can take mud in his hand and make something beautiful, a beautiful church for God. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
amen.
Hallelujah. May the Holy Spirit fall on all who hear. May the Holy Spirit wash away the hardness and wash away the reluctance and the rebellion, and let you come like a mud pile and be formed and sculpted into the image and likeness of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God.
And all his chariots.
All his chariots bogged down in the mud.
And all his host with the edge of a sword before Barak.
Barak doesn't even have to work. Here, Barak, just kill him. Okay.
So that Sisera lighted down off his chariot.
Sisera, the enemy, he's looking, oh my goodness, my chariot's in the mud. I better get out of here. So he gets down and he runs. This is the enemy, Sisera, battle array.
And fled away on his feet. 16, but Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host of the army unto Harosheth.
Now, what it means, the chariots couldn't move. They were stuck. But those horses, some of the men of Sisera would grab a horse and try to escape. But God is just handing it out to Barak. There they are. I've got them captured. Just go kill the enemy, Barak. Sometimes God just has to help a child do it.
Of the Gentiles. And all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left.
The Hebrew manuscript says there was not a man left save one, and that was Sisera. See, you've always got to get the head of the snake, or he'll come back and bite you again. So Sisera has escaped, but Barak has been handed all the rest on a silver platter.
Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet unto the tent of Jael.
Jael, remember the tent, Heber's wife sitting there? Okay.
Wife of Heber, the Kenite,
had lived in Kenite territory. They mistakenly called them Kenite, but they were Abrahamic seed, Midianite priest.
For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber, the Kenite.
Sisera thought that they were friends because they had once lived in that territory. Little did he know.
18, and Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said to him, "Turn in, my lord. Turn in unto me. Fear not."
"Come into my parlor," said the spider to the fly.
And when he had turned in unto her in the tent, she covered him with a mantle.
With a rug or a blanket. He was wet and dripping and shivering.
And he said unto her, "Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink.
When we get to chapter 5, we will see in the Hebrew language, not in English, that she pulled out her best goblet, her best dishes, and gave to him the milk. Now, you know, milk will put you hard and fast asleep. And Paul says, body of Christ, you need to grow from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. Awake, O sleeper. Come out of sleep, body of Christ. Stop with the milk and go to the meat. But he's taking the milk, and anybody in the milk is going to be deceived when Antichrist comes.
Cover him. 20, again he said unto her, "Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be, when any man come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here? That thou shalt say, No."
He's given her a command. Women weren't treated too respectfully then. If he had known what was about to happen to him, he would have killed himself first.
Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand.
Now, at that time, and some places in the Middle East today, it's the women who have the job of putting up the tent and taking the tent down. So Jael knew exactly how to use the hammer, and she knew how to use the tent peg.
And went softly unto him,
so as not to awaken him.
And smote the nail into his temples.
It says plural. Why is that? One temple all the way through to the other temple. Plural.
And fastened it into the ground.
Got that one fastened down.
For he was fast asleep.
Now, in the book of Zechariah, God calls his elect here at the end times carpenters. And he says that as a carpenter, we ought to take the word of God with the anointing of God. And we're to take that word of God and we're to hammer it and hammer it and hammer it and hammer it. And don't ever stop hammering to the north, the south, and the east and west. Send out the word to the whole wide world and nail it in. Amen. So that people may come out of darkness, the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Can you hammer?
Amen.
Have you ever nailed it in? Did you hammer this week?
And weary, so he died. 22, and behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him.
Here comes Barak. He's trying to find Sisera.
And said unto him, "Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest."
Can you imagine her expression? "Come here, let me show you what I've got."
When he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples.
Barak probably remembered that a woman's going to get the honor, not you, Barak. Barak could have gotten the honor, but he wasn't cheerful. He just did it because he ought to. He didn't have faith in God. He didn't believe the prophet. God says, "Believe my word, believe my prophets." And he didn't want to, but he did it because he ought to. So he lost his reward.
23, and God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. 24, and the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan.
Victory.
Until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Judges chapter 5. Then sang Deborah and Barak, son of Abimelech, on that day, saying, praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel.
Now, it's customary in God's kingdom that when God lets the enemy come upon you, or the enemy comes upon you, and God gives you the victory, that once you get the victory, you're to write a song and sing it. The song seals the emotion of the event. When the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, in Exodus 15, Moses and Miriam wrote a song about the rider in the sea. Wednesday night, when King David was rescued, survived the 25,000 men when the woods killed them, he wrote Psalm 62, which we worked through and worshiped God with the other night. When the United States of America seemed all lost and the bombs were bursting in air, but the flag was still there, to seal that event, the Star Spangled Banner was written. When the very elect overcome the soon coming Antichrist, we're going to sing the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32. It is God's order. He keeps books. So for every event, you don't just go from one war and victory moving into the next. You stop, be still, you seal it, you sing it, you get your emotions straightened out, and you praise the Lord before you go to the next one. See, a lot of reasons some of you are about to fall. You haven't stopped between battles.
The people willingly offer themselves.
In other words, what Deborah is singing here, she said, only two tribes offered themselves. Well, two is better than one.
Hear, O ye kings. Give ear, O ye princes.
This is Deborah's victory song.
Even I will sing unto the Lord.
She says herself she's not being proud. God keeps books. It has to be in the book. Everything that you ever do is in a book somewhere, and it's recorded. God keeps record. He's the Word. He's the alphabet, so he's got books. So she says, I, Deborah, she's not being proud. She obeyed God. See, when you obey God, it's not wrong to be say, okay, I obeyed God.
Amen.
I will sing praise unto the Lord God of Israel. For, Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom.
Seir today is Iran, and Edom is Russia.
Earth trembled, and the heavens dropped. The clouds also dropped water.
Now this, in her song, she's describing that when God discomfited Syria, the spiritual phenomena was he sent that flood, and it was such a powerful flood that it just had a mudslide, and the concrete melted, and all the enemies got stuck in the mud. Do you know, if you know how to pray with the Holy Spirit, and you know how to be anointed with the Word of God and send the Word of God, you can move into the enemy's territory, and you can cause their wheels to be paralyzed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're talking about the enemies of God, and that's what you to do. You're a warrior.
5. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord, God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar.
Remember Shamgar last week? He killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. So he was still living at this time.
Son of Anak, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. 7. The inhabitants of the villages ceased.
She records in her song that Jabin and Sisera, they were making it so hard with those iron chariots that they couldn't even get out and into the streets. They just had to stay shut up because of those iron chariots. And they were starving because they couldn't tend to their crops.
Feast in Israel until I, Deborah,
I, the pollinating bee, taking the Word of God, and so America, and so the body of Christ, and so you are weak and the enemy is too strong for you, until the bee comes along, the Word of God, and you take that Word of God and you stick it right down in where that enemy is, wherever that stronghold is, that thing that's keeping you back, that thing that's keeping you down, that thing that is, you know perfectly well you need to get victory over that. Stick that Word with that bee sting, let the pollination of the Word of God, and that enemy will have to die. You have the victory. You don't know that, do you? Well, I'm telling you, you do.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Arose, that I arose a mother in Israel.
Deborah, a mother in Israel. Happy Mother's Day, Deborah. A mother gives birth, which gives life. The Word of God gives birth, which gives life. Jesus is the living Word, and Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Were you blessed?
Yes, very much so.
We'll begin right there next week, but right now it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, my twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing great, Miss Sherry. That was just a great word tonight, the power.
To know that we've got the victory.
Yeah, that's it. We do have a victory. We need to walk in it.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. I'm glad you were blessed.
Yeah, that was very blessed. Okay, our first question. When 25,000 men were chasing David, and the Bible says the woods killed them, how did the woods kill them?
Now, that's in Samuel also. We've been studying that in Psalm. It says in that the woods killed those 25,000 of Absalom's men coming against David. It's a figure of speech. In the manuscripts, it says, the coo of a dove in the distant oaks. The dove is the Holy Spirit, and the coo is the groaning of Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26. And the distant oaks, that would be where the woods are. The Holy Spirit made a sound. Oh, the groaning. We don't know how to pray. We pray with groanings which cannot be uttered. And that groaning sound produces movement. Do you see why you need to pray and groan? It sounds, produces movement. And all of those 25,000 soldiers were so frightened they ran into each other. And then the Holy Spirit took their breath from them. That the Holy Spirit killed him. That's what it means.
Yeah, and even the head, like you said, was Absalom.
Absalom.
Taken by the woods, too.
That's right. He got his too.
Lord, like Sisera.
That's right.
Snake,
and even Absalom got his hair caught up there, and Joab sliced and diced him.
Yeah, amen. All right, so our next question. What is the difference between the sixth-day creation and the man Adam and the woman Eve?
Okay, the sixth-day creation, Genesis 1. The manuscripts there, well, it will say male and female created he them. That word Adam in the original Hebrew does not mean a man named Adam. It means mankind in general, humankind in general. Well, just go to the mall. Red, yellow, brown, black, and white. And the book of Genesis chapter 1 says God says it's very good. He loves all the races, and they were hunters and fishers. So the sixth-day creation were all the races. Now, after God rested on the seventh day, Genesis chapter 2, he needed a farmer to till the soil. Spiritually, he needed a certain pedigree through whom the Lord Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, could come to be the Messiah to pay our sin debt and save us. So he created, Hebrew, Eth Ha'adam, a specific man, Adam, and the woman, Eve. And of course, he was a farmer, meaning he tilled the soil. God planted the sun into the soil of planet Earth, and up came eternal life.
That's awesome.
Oh, well, you know, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now, ladies and gentlemen, for Scott's stuff.
Well, I had been directed to read this on the steps of the Constitution Hall up in Washington, D.C.
Oh.
The isles of the heathen shall be possessed by the sanctified ones. The hidden, set aside ones shall possess them. They shall be stripped of their wages. Their labor shall be fruitless. Their goods, food for the Lord's children. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. This is an all call to arms for all of God's children.
Absolutely. Amen. That is, we are so right now. This is it. We are on this spiritual time for us to take back the land. The remnant will be the elect.
Thank you, Scott.
Scott Mercer, that is very great. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you. Now, if you're not saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me and mean it. Will you all pray this if you're not saved? Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Fill me and lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your truth.
Grow me in your truth.
And use me.
And use me.
To bring many children.
To bring many children.
To the kingdom.
To the kingdom.
Of Jesus Christ.
Of Jesus Christ.
I love you.
I love you.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, if you prayed that and mean it, my announcer is going to give you my telephone number in a few minutes, so please call and leave a message. Say your name clearly, and I will pray for you. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, from the north, the south, and the east and west, O Son of Righteous, arise with healing in your wings. Oh, hallelujah. Migraine headaches be gone. Brain tumors be gone. In the name of Jesus, strongholds there, sin in you. Come up, come up, come up, 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 up. Arise in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loose, 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 and let them go. That the stomachs be healed, and kidneys and bladders, and the colon, the digestive system be healed, the hearts and lungs, and the throat and the vocal cords, and the eyes and the ears, from the top to the bottom. Take up your bed and hallelujah, he sent his word and healed you. With Jesus' stripes you heal. Take up your bed and walk. Faith is an act. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, those of you who are healed, please also feel free to call me there. Now, all of you know that I love you, and I thank you with all my heart for listening to Trumpet of Truth. Remember this, everything you get is to give away. Nothing is yours to keep. You're going to burst wide open if you keep keeping this truth. Go and tell. Tell people of Trumpet of Truth. Bring them to the radio, internet, here live, Sundays, Wednesdays, the Thursday Healing Line. In other words, do something. Don't let Deborah keep having to say, up, up, up. Get up, take the initiative, unlike Barack, and then get your reward. God bless each one of you. I love you. Remember this about Yeshua Jesus. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock, America's messenger of truth, saying, I love you. God bless you, and stay in the truth with love.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
But the sweet Lord Jesus, he's a miracle man. He's got holes. Pursue me all of the days I find the quiet place where the stillness of my soul meets the brilliance of your face. My heart is bound to you with a bond as thick as blood. I've struggled in my strength break through sin's chains, but you did it with your love. My heart is bound to you. Deep calls unto deep. Staggered by your love's sheer intensity, to waves break over.
Worship you alone.
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
I dare not sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When the mountains are falling, when the waters are rising, I shall be safe.
My anchor holds within.